Hello and welcome to TW Now. I'm Scott Winnell. Welcome back to our regular viewers, and if you're brand new, welcome. We're glad to have you here with us today. You know, Americans and most in Western nations are richer today than they have ever been. Standards of living are rising all over the globe. People have seemingly more freedoms than before, yet many are less happy than they've ever been. Why do you think this might be? In an overly commercialized world where the worldly holidays of Halloween and Christmas bring hundreds of billions of dollars in revenue, the autumn holiday of Thanksgiving, celebrated in several nations, is often glanced over. The idea and the act of being thankful seems to have fallen out of vogue in the past few generations, as some people focus more on making money and achieving personal success. On today's program, we're going to discuss this concept of being thankful or grateful and its impact on personal happiness. Do you want to be happier? If so, our conversation today could really help you. So welcome and listen well. To lead us in this discussion, we are thankful to have two individuals as our returning guests on the program today. Mr. Jonathan McNair is also a past TW Now host, and so it's great to have you back here.
Thank you.
And Mr. Jerry Ruddleston is also a TW Now individual who's here with us fairly regularly. So we're glad to have you both here. We're glad to have you contribute today.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
Let's go ahead and get started, and let me just ask you, when we look around the world today, as we think about happiness to begin with, are people happy? If people are happy, why are they happy? If not, why not? And yeah. We could even ask the question, what is happiness anyway?
Sure.
Mr. McNair.
You know, it's interesting to me because every once in a while you'll hear these discussions on a news program, a TV program, or on the radio, and they'll have an article, a special about happiness in the world, and then they'll rate different countries as to the happiness indicator. So obviously, mm-hmm. It's an issue. We want to be happy. We're curious as to whether we're more happy than our neighbor or than even another country. So it certainly is. It is a topic that we're mindful of as humans, and we're curious about it. So,
yep. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, that's the same. What I was going to say, when you think about what's going on in society, it seems that society in general is in an upheaval these days. They're looking for something.
Yeah.
And for example, we just had elections here in this country, and you could say that half the people are happy. Half the people are unhappy about the results of it, and it just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, that reminds me even of the way it is in Europe. We were talking about this even as we discussed the topic earlier, and talking about how right now in Europe there are those that are quite discontented with Angela Merkel, but those who are part of her party, of course, they're unhappy that now she's being forced out of power. If you go to Britain, Brexit is a big issue. So politically, there are people happy and unhappy, and so it is part of our thinking. There seems to be an angst, generally speaking, but yeah, we want to be happy as people. So it's a topic worth, I think, discussing, particularly in light of how that applies to giving thanks and what that has to do with our mindset. So yeah, it's definitely an issue.
And then you have the drive. People seem to have their drive to have more things. So that's driving a lot of what we're doing, and angst about it, comparing yourself with your neighbor, always having to have something new. You know, I help teach a personal finance class to some of our students, and one of the things I talk to them about is being content, because contentment helps actually make you more thankful for what you have.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like from some of the recent statistics that I've seen that we used to think that it tended to be young people who were less happy. They wanted what they didn't have and looked forward to being adults where they could have more. And as people aged, they became more content with life. But it appears that from some of the recent studies that's not happening. As I think one of the studies that we looked at showed that now more and more of the older crowd are unhappy with life, unhappy with the fact that they're dreams haven't come true.
Expectations. And
their expectations seems to be a rising number with statistically that are not happy. 77%, I think, is what one study showed of people that are just unhappy with life.
And that starts, like I said, even it starts with kids who are even in college or younger, because they think, well, I've got to achieve this, I have to achieve that, I have to achieve this in order to get there. And then they fall a little bit short, or, you know, life takes its twists and turns.
Yeah.
And more people are saying, I'm not reaching my potential, or my potential should be this, I'm not getting there, and they're not happy.
I wonder if it's a matter, too, of expectations. You know, expectations today are that you can do anything and be anything, and yet in reality, that's not the case. We can't be anything and do anything. All our skills and our opportunities are not the same. And if the expectation is that we can, it's going to lead us to being unhappy because we feel unfulfilled. So maybe that's part of it as well, is that false, unmet expectations.
I was just going to ask, with that concept of expectations, why do you think people's expectations are so off, maybe with reality? Why are people having such unmet expectations?
I think part of it is the way the society is actually built on the way of get. Mm-hmm. It really is. It comes down to something, to me, it comes down to something that basic, the way of get, where you think that what the idealism that the media puts out, that commercial, trying to get you to buy this, trying to get you to buy that, showing you what this family, you know, the typical family has this. Well, my family doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Or you're happy if you go to Disney World. Well, my family doesn't go to Disney World. I must be doing something wrong.
Yeah.
You know, we're not happy. We're not getting there.
So it's what you're saying is we're happy based on what we can get, what we can have, and the abundance of choices. I think that's one of the things today that actually has worked against us, because you would think if we can get more things, if we can have more things, we'd be happier.
Sure.
But what we found is we're not. It's the... what do they call it? There's a phrase for this abundance of choices that actually forces us into a mindset where it's more frustrating, more agonizing, more destabilizing for us psychologically when we have too many choices. So it's counterintuitive that having more doesn't necessarily bring us more. Having more choices, having more opportunities doesn't bring us more. For one, what we can't have, but also just the frustration with not knowing where to turn.
It's interesting you say that, because immediately Solomon pops into my mind.
Hmm.
The person who had everything,
yes.
And at the end he said, it's nothing.
Yeah, it...
Or it can be. But, by the way, we're not trying to say that you shouldn't have things, right? And that you strive to have a good standard of living for your family and that type of thing. And you can be happy with what you have.
Yeah.
Another thing I tell the kids, you can have a very high salary, and if you are constantly living in debt, you're living paycheck to paycheck. Or someone else can have a really low salary, not have debt and that type of thing, and they're happy with what they have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a much more comfortable life, believe it or not, than someone with a high salary. You know, they're always trying to, because they want more. They're always, you know, reaching. Or if you're happy with what you have, it leads to a type of a peace.
Do you think that happiness, too, thinking about this, is happiness something that's taught? Is it something that's absorbed from the culture around? Or, you know, how it happens? How do we become in a state of happiness? If it's, you know, it's something we think about. And if we actually even, you know, think in a sense and talk with our audience, if we think about what makes true happiness, whether it's something we can actually grow in, or it's just somehow environmentally out of our control because of our genetics or our family, whatever. I mean, I say that rhetorically, but I think it's something we can learn about and learn to be happy.
Well, it sort of begs the question. You mentioned Solomon getting to the end of his life. He had everything, and he still wasn't happy. Yeah. We've been talking about these unmet expectations. The question is, do people know what can really make you happy? Are we focusing on the right things or the wrong things when we're trying to measure happiness?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when scientists will say it's just a chemical reaction in the brain, or you're seeking for endorphins, you think about that too. I mean, I guess some people in great amount of trouble, because they might be doing something that's not actually right doing, but it releases a particular endorphin in the brain, so you want to do it because it kind of has that peace, mm-hmm. kind of happiness, a sort of happiness, mm-hmm. but it's physical,
very
not lasting.
Temporary, yeah.
Very temporary.
There's a scripture that we read in the Bible that Job states. He said, "Happy is the man whom God corrects." So, well, that is really counterintuitive. That's a different approach to happiness than we have. To be corrected by God and it actually producing happiness in us. Mm. That's very different from the idea of being happy by something we can have that we don't have. And I think that's part of it as well, is vis-a-vis thankfulness, is, you know, the idea that we can be happy if we only have something we don't. Whether it's an experience, whether it's a girlfriend or a boyfriend, a wife or a mate or more money, it's a happiness is built on covetousness versus what Job said, that we're happy is the man that God corrects.
But yeah. That's a hard pill to swallow.
But why does he correct? I mean, do we ask those questions? Which then leads me to another question, and we're sort of going there anyway. With happiness, what do thankful and gratitude have to do with it? You've both brought up sort of this lust, the selfish desire, this way of get. There's a contrast to that, and it's thankfulness and it's gratitude. How do they relate to happiness?
Well, I think they're part of it. I think by practicing those, it gives you more of that peace of mind. And I think to have peace of mind lets you be happy. I really do.
I'd say too, if our sense of our understanding of happiness comes from this well-being, the sense of well-being or contentment we get from having things, then it's hard for us to be thankful because our thinking is inward, isn't it? We're always thinking inward, whereas thankfulness by its nature is outward. I mean, you think about it; thankfulness is similar to appreciation, and appreciation is actually thinking about what we are, what we have, and it's actually then showing attention outward towards others, which takes our mind in a very different direction. And so I think that's a big part of it right there.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Can we jump in? And I mean, a passage of scripture that jumps out to me is in Philippians, mm-hmm. you know, because it talks about this very thing that we are saying. Especially here in Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 even. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here it comes. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I found lately that my prayers, personally, I've been thanking God a lot. And I'm telling you, I feel like I have more peace. Not that I was unpeaceful, but just by doing that now, because you realize that it all comes, happiness, we're getting around to it. Mm. It really comes from God. It really does. I firmly believe that. And this is part of how it happens.
Go ahead.
And I'd like to add to that is the word joy. You know, we find in the scriptures that there's a focus that's more on joy as a fruit of God's Spirit. In other words, a sense of well-being, but it's not as we would commonly think of happiness in our day. The word happy is in the scriptures, and there are in a number of places, but the word joy, I think, is broader, and it's seen as a sense of well-being and contentment that comes from God and a recognition of God and His blessings, and there's thankfulness as part of it. So it's a mindset that is a godly mindset that we're told to emulate if we are to be like God. You know, is God ever unthankful? Is God ever covetous? Does God ever have a nature of wanting more? He doesn't think that way, and so I think that there is joy is a big part of the picture, understanding what that means to have a godly joy.
Agreed.
So what brings joy? What are some of those characteristics? What are some of those states in life that bring us joy? Because we've talked about how having things doesn't necessarily bring about those feelings of life satisfaction. what can bring about joy? What are the elements of life? You've done some study and looked at some of the research. You've also lived a lot of life and known a lot of people. What are some of those elements that bring joy to life, happiness to life?
I love it. I've been reading Job, and I just finished it this morning, by the way. But you know, and in other places where God talks about this a little bit, and also there he talks about, and not in Job, but he talks about the angels crying for, or angels, how joyful they were when creation happened. Mm. And for us, I think about having a baby. You know, when my children were born, I was overwhelmed with joy, and the tears, you know, just come to you. It's a joyful time. Things like that are part of what joy is.
You know, and joy tied with Thanksgiving, I think it's... You know, it has to do with thinking of other people, thinking about how we can be overjoyed when we have a baby. I can think of times in my life where I've been, let's say, in need or vulnerable, and have been then helped by someone else. You know, they've reached out, they've encouraged. Or I can think of one situation where somebody, I was on a camping trip and I was freezing cold, and they gave me, it was the middle of the night, I was half asleep but freezing cold, and I woke up and this other person had bundled me with their sleeping bag. I mean, that sounds silly, I understand, but it was, I mean, the I was in a sense vulnerable, in need, and this person, they reached out and they helped me. And now that simple, I know it's a simple, silly thing, but to this day, the thankfulness for that, I mean, maybe just as much for the fact that they cared enough to do that, actually still sort of resonates with me. And I would say that's a sense of joy that's brought by, now again, this case is not what I have, it was my need, it's my vulnerability, mm-hmm. but that brought on then a thankfulness for their act of kindness. So mm-hmm. now we're looking at not being strong and having, but you know, but really, really being driven by what others do to benefit us and how we feel about that.
And by the way, there's a flip benefit of that too. That person had joy in knowing that they helped you. So we talk about how this all relates together by having an outward concern for other people, mm-hmm. and that you actually are giving to them, because it mm-hmm. gives you a certain sense of joy when you have something you can give to somebody else, and if they truly need it and are truly thankful for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, even with our holiday, our Thanksgiving holiday, when we recognize that our blessings in this nation, and we appreciate that, because much of the world does not enjoy anywhere near the blessings we do, most of the world. And the more you travel and live in different parts of the world, the more you appreciate that, and we can forget about that sometimes. Mm-hmm. But that being said, when we do recognize where those blessings come from God, and we give thanks, I think we acknowledge his love towards us, and certainly that must bring him joy, that that relationship is enhanced by he loves to give, and we appreciate that giving attitude. And again, particularly this time of year with Thanksgiving, I've seen situations on Thanksgiving where so much of the hoopla about it has nothing to do with any thanks towards God, but it has to do with all kinds of, you know, football games and everything else. God doesn't come into the picture, and that's sad. I hope, you know, in our audience, I hope we all do take a little bit of time to remember why we have this day.
And we realize that the program will be aired, that for some they might be at Thanksgiving or a little bit later, and remembering to reflect on why this nation has its blessings, and remembering that it's this day and every day is not just about the turkey. You know, in America we have the turkey and the sides to the turkey and everything else, but remembering that it's because of the blessings that we have in this nation, and being thankful to God for it.
And being happy because that, not just happy because the New England Patriots won the game. No, sorry.
That's true.
This, for our international audience, New England Patriots are a football team here that when they win, I'm
and
happy.
And for our Texans, the Cowboys, of
course. Okay.
American football, yes.
Yes.
So back to let's come back to some scripture a little bit. You, Mr. Elston, read just a little bit ago from the scripture. Can you think of any other scriptures where God God is giving us guidance on and showing us that He has a desire for us to be grateful, to be thankful.
Oh, sure.
One that I jotted down here is in Proverbs chapter 3 is happy is the man who finds wisdom. And the Proverbs are full of points of wisdom, and God also commanded us to seek wisdom as part and parcel with actually having happiness. That's godly happiness, though. But there's a recognition and a thankfulness to whom that happiness, the one who is the author of that wisdom. So mm-hmm. that's a key one to me. Happy is the one who has wisdom and, mm-hmm. of course, thankfulness with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can look at Psalms 102 also, 100 verse 4, enter to his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the eternal is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So God knows that when we're thankful to him, it'll make us happy. It really will, because he'll bless us.
Mm-hmm. There's another proverb that I thought was interesting, and that is, it says, he who despises his neighbor sins, this is Proverbs in Proverbs 14, he who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. Now, who would be more thankful than those who are, again, in need? The someone who is poor, someone who is vulnerable. And having mercy on the poor, someone who is in need, then brings happiness, contentment, but also it's part and parcel with thankfulness, again, because a need is being fulfilled. So that jumped out at me, that mercy, mm-hmm. and showing mercy. Now, that's very different from getting the things we want, but to derive happiness from showing mercy. Mm-hmm. That jumped out at me.
It's sort of the opposite of getting, isn't it? You're giving that mercy to somebody.
Definitely.
Yes, and of course the verse that we bring up every time we give an offering, that it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In that context, too.
Yeah.
Have you, in your life experience, think about it, why do you think being thankful helps increase happiness? Just think about your own life and situations you've been in. When you are more thankful, you mentioned you've been really trying to focus on that. Why does that bring happiness?
I think it's just a product of turning to God, being thankful to Him, and it leads to a peace of mind, which is a type of happiness, and being happy with what you have. That's really what it, that to me, it boils down to it quite a bit. Mm. Being happy with what you have, being content with what you have, and contentment, a happiness, and to take joy in the success of others. Learning not just to focus in on yourself. Like, I mean, going back to the beginning, kind of tying it all together with a little bow here, you know, people are unhappy because they're not achieving. They're not achieving. They can't get. But when you learn to be happy with your family, with their successes, the successes of others, it gives you a peace and happiness, at least in my mind.
You know, you think of the opposite of contentment and happiness is wanting something you don't have. We've talked about that, but that's really what the commandments are about. Not only covetousness, but the commandment against stealing. What does that speak to? It speaks to thinking not of what we enjoy and what we have and what has been given to us, what we've been blessed with, but it actually puts us in a mindset of what we don't have and actually acting out getting something else that doesn't belong to us. Adultery has to do with the same. It's actually, it's instead of thinking of appreciation to others, it's looking at others and what we want.
That's right.
Murder, I mean, again, it's getting our way versus thinking of others. I mean, even the Sabbath day, we're taking God's time and we're saying, no, that's, I want to use it as I wish, instead of acknowledging that's God's time and then giving that and devoting ourselves to Him. If you look at the commandments, I mean, it's all about going outward as opposed to the selfishness. So you think about it, they produce then a way of happiness if we live by them, because they're outward thinking and not selfishly thinking.
By the way, another byproduct of the Sabbath too is that we're supposed to look to God is the creator on that day, taking a step back from our labors, by the way, be thankful. You don't. God says to rest.
And it's a day of Thanksgiving, too, in a sense.
It's a day of Thanksgiving.
Really, seriously.
Because if you're remembering God as the Creator, you can't help but be in awe of the creation and be thankful that we're here. Yeah. And be thankful that He sets the creation, that we don't go outside one day and gravity works, the next day it doesn't really work, and that the earth is in the exact position, that we're not too close to the sun or too far in outer space or be burned up or frozen to death.
Yeah.
And His laws are there and eternal, and they work for us. Be thankful.
You know, in a way, it's sad that as an American, in our American society, we have this Thanksgiving Day. Other places, other nations, they have it. Some nations have a Thanksgiving Day. Canada, for example. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of nations, obviously, don't, especially nations that don't have a Judeo-Christian background. But it really is sad that we relegate thanking God to one day a year, and even on that day, I would dare say that most Americans don't do a lot of thanking of God, unfortunately, from my experiences. It's more about other things. When in reality, we're supposed to give thanks to God every Sabbath day, and in a sense, I think it's a sad thing that it's only the one day.
You know? But its original intent was a
which
day
is
of
good,
thanks.
Which is good, which,
of and course, that was a good thing. So.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Interesting. So when we think about, I'm listening to what you're saying. You're talking about the need to be content, and how when we're content, we feel more at peace. It makes me wonder, the whole idea of getting and doing for self, you're talking about we need to be doing for others, doing for self, getting, having these things that we want, is there ever a time when that need and that desire is satiated, or does it continue? And I'm sort of thinking out loud, but you can respond to that too if you want. If we're trying to get for ourselves, do we ever reach a point where we've got it all and we're content, or does it keep going?
There's never enough.
And I think that speaks to that abundance of choices that we have. Some of the most popular stores today, I could think of certain grocery stores that where their mantra is few choices, because they recognize that it's a winning game to offer only a few types of potato chips as opposed to 37 across a row where people get frustrated. So it's really the abundance of choices doesn't help, and we are never satiated. We always want more. Whatever we have, we always want more. Interesting. I think one of the studies that you passed our way as we were preparing for this was had to do with how the middle part of it seems like the middle part of the earners in America, the middle America in terms of financially, are struggling and are not happy. It seems like I think the study mentioned how those who have not earned a high school degree and those who are on the absolute upper cusp of millionaire status or whatever seem to have the most, at least stated, happiness, where the broad swath in the middle are unhappy on the whole. So that I think that speaks to people in that swath, all of us in that middle part, tending to always want more, and how that's part of our psyche, you know.
Mm. Agreed.
I wonder if also, again, as a nation, because we believe in hard work and we believe in earning what you can and enjoying it, and I wonder if that work ethic, which is a good thing, can also turn against us, because that work ethic turns into wanting to get ahead, and then therefore never being satisfied, mm-hmm. Even as a national culture here in our country. Mm-hmm. Some countries do tend to seem to, I think of living in Asia, where there are certain countries that part of their psyche is to be more content. I'm not saying they're perfect human beings, but that is part of the psyche, is not to have that drive like we have in this country.
I totally agree with that. When you think about, excuse me, but you think about also how our society is built on what you do. We talk about you can be content in your work if you're doing something that you really love doing, but many people find themselves doing things that perhaps they don't love doing. Think about all the, and maybe you could say with with all the electronic things that are going on, you know, I don't want to tell people who work on the internet that you're not happy what you're doing, but, so to speak, but people are doing things, they're like, where is this job actually leading me?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's a rare thing to be able to do what you love to do. Many people just, you know, are working because they have to work to survive.
Yeah. Of course, I reviewed it was a Prager University video clip. It was done by Mike Rowe, the Dirty Jobs guy. And he was talking about how we really shouldn't follow our dreams, but we should learn to be content in what we have. And we may not be in the job that we love the most, but we can learn to love the job we do, mm-hmm. which was really an interesting, he had a little more graphic description, mm-hmm. and you might want to check it out on your own, but it was just really interesting that here's someone out there saying you can learn to love what you do, even if it's not something you would have chosen in the first place.
You know,
because of thankfulness.
Content, mm-hmm. and I was going to say, you know, in a way, contentment is not an exact synonym, but it is in the family of thankfulness, isn't it?
It's very closely related.
It is closely related. Being content has an element of thankfulness and appreciation for the state that you're in.
Yeah. So, we have actually reached our time here. We need to wind down. But hopefully our audience has learned a few things or have been reminded of a few things. As we do wind down, I have a final question for you. And that's, what do you want to leave the audience with? What's really a take-home point that you find helpful to you, but that maybe the audience might find helpful to them as well? Something to remember.
In my mind, as I mentioned before, my prayers have been turning to adding a lot more thanks to it. And I really recommend you doing this and proving this, and because you realize where it really comes from, mm-hmm. and to be thankful be thankful to the Creator, and He'll help you to be thankful for whatever state you find yourself in. That's my takeaway.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You know, it's interesting. There's actually some research that would back up what you just said. That whole idea of focusing on what you're thankful for really does begin to change your outlook.
It sure does.
And even the science is beginning to show that. Something God knew a long time ago. What do you want to leave us with?
You know, there's a word that we find in the Bible. It's called it. The word is blessing, having a blessing or being blessed. Mm. It's not a word that's much part of our culture and language today, typically. But we read about blessings in the Bible, and mechanisms are good, you know, practice routines are good for us to learn things. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just thinking that if we actually force ourselves from time to time to sit down and, as they say, count your blessings. In other words, make a list, whether it's in our mind or whether on a piece of paper, of all the blessings, all the good things that we, and I say things, now we're talking about things, but yes, okay, our family, our husband, or our wife, or our children, the fact that we have good health, the fact that, anyway, you start making a list, mm-hmm. and when our mind is focused on the blessings that are part mm-hmm. of our life, it's hard to be in a state of mind where we just want more and more and more, because it just helps us to practice appreciating and, again, being thankful for what we have already been blessed with.
Hmm. Interesting. So when you're filled up with this, there may not be as much room for
certainly
looking for more.
Certainly.
Interesting. Gentlemen, thank you for being part of the program today. Thank you for your thoughts. A very thoughtful program today. And thank you for your help in reminding us about what's important and what we really do need to be thankful for.
Thank you.
Thank you.
<You're welcome.
laughs> You know, it's sadly ironic that in recent decades, as the pursuit of happiness has become more ingrained and people have driven themselves to get their individual happiness, we as a society have become more unhappy than ever. As we've talked about on today's program, happiness is profoundly impacted by other factors, factors beyond us, beyond ourselves, and factors that are really toward other people, and particularly God. In this time of year when quite a few of our nations actually are celebrating their own Thanksgivings, we should be reminded about the incredible power of gratitude, of being thankful. Intentionally becoming more thankful and grateful to God for our blessings will make us happier. And will make us more content.
something God understood well as he directed us to do in the pages of his Bible. What are you thankful for? When was the last time you thought about this? Consider taking a little bit of time, as Mr. McNair just admonished us, to make a list of some of those things that you're happy for, that you're thankful for. And you might then want to notice how you feel after you begin making this list. For more encouraging news about the future, more insights into how to live a happy life, we encourage you to visit us at tomorrowsworld.org. And also stay tuned to TW Now each week. We'll look forward to seeing you again next week.